This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Who's and what's and why's and wherefores. Here you'll find your whatnots and therefores. So come on along, let's find out what's going on. Where's and when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what your taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news. And when's and who's and what's it's. No matter what you taste, you can trust it's the place where you can find all your new Disney news.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Podcast, current events edition as of April 12th, 2024.
All right. It's glad to be here for this episode of our current events as we catch up on what's been happening at the Disneyland Resort over the last couple of weeks.
That's right. I'm Lynn, and Ken is my co-host, and we are both former Disneyland custodial cast members, and we talk Disneyland, and we are the ones that host the number one Disneyland podcast, hosted by two former Disneyland custodians.
Number one.
We are also the authors of the books Cleaning the Kingdom. We have two different volumes with two different content is different in each book. So you can get those. We have signed copies of the second book on our website, thesweepspot.com, or you can get both copies in paperback at Amazon, not signed, but you can get them on Amazon. Or if you like digital copies like Kindle, you can get those there. And we also have them on Audible, and wherever audiobooks are found. Also, we have a Patreon, and what we do is it helps us to pay the bills here. Things get more expensive the longer you do this and more episodes you have, and just
my fees go up, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's the contracts are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But no, but we have a lot of expenses and things we do. So it really does help us out, and also gives you some bonus content and some cool perks. So you get one bonus episode delivered to you that we record once a month. It's usually about 30 minutes long, and it's just Ken and I talking about different topics surrounding Disneyland, and usually like a current events, but we expand on it sometimes. You can join our chat room as we record the current events once a month. We have the chat room opened as we're recording, and people can leave their comments, and I kind of respond back sometimes and include those comments sometimes into our conversation, and it's a lot of fun. And the people that have been doing it are really enjoying it, and you can do that by going to our website, thesweepspot.com, and click on the Patreon link, or go to Patreon and search The Sweep Spot. And that's $5 or more per month. You get those perks. One more thing, we also are going to be at the Disney, well, they've changed the name. What is it, like the Ultimate
Disney? It's the D23 event. D23,
yeah. You know, they've changed the name. But we're going to be there. You know, in past years, we've been at a booth all day long for all 3 days. And this time we will be there. But we'll be there at scheduled times, and we'll be at Laughing Places booth. So we're kind of like slowly introducing what we're doing, and we don't know the times yet, but it'll probably be somewhere in the middle of the day each time. And we'll be at their booth there to sell our books. And if you'd like to come by and say hi, we'll probably have buttons available. And We'll keep you posted on the times that we will be there. So it should be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to it. And it will also give us an opportunity to walk around and enjoy it ourselves so we can report back to you on what we see and our opinions and everything. So I'm really looking forward to that. And that's in August. I think it's what? Well, you can't even buy tickets. So if you don't have tickets now, and
get them from a scalper.
Yeah, we're not going to. Yeah, they don't sell. The tickets are sold out. So those of you that
do what you can, you know,
yeah,
marry somebody who's got tickets and then afterwards you can divorce them. I'm just kidding. That's a terrible thing to say. But no, I if you've got tickets, we'll be happy to see you there.
Yeah, and I'll be in the parks a couple of days before. So if you wanted to meet up somehow, just say hi, and you're not going to be at D23. I can arrange that somehow. All right. Well, I did want to say one more thing. You know that I'm a travel planner for concierge, and you hear the little promo we put in each episode, but I did want to include that there's a lot of promotions going on right now for Walt Disney World. So if you're thinking about going there anytime soon, there's a deal for you there, because they've been pumping out these promotions and things. So you can contact me and we can discuss that. I give you some prices and stuff, but yeah, at no cost to you. All right, Ken, let's get right into it, because I know we have a lot to discuss.
Hello, everyone. This is Eric Johnson with Concierge, and welcome to the D180. While Ken and Lynn cover all things Disneyland, in the D180 we take a spin around the rest of the Disney universe, and we do it in 180 seconds. Let's jump right in. Let's begin our journey this week by actually not talking about any cruise ships at all. None. Not one, I swear. At least I think I do. Let's visit the International Flower and Garden Festival at Epcot again. The festival is still in full swing right now, and there are plenty of amazing topiaries to view, food kiosks to visit, and great musicians to groove to every night. The Journey of Water, inspired by Moana, is bubbling away in the World Nature section of the park, delighting guests young and old. This new feature is packed with opportunities to learn about plant life and the cycle of water on our planet. It's a new take on the old educational opportunities that used to fill the front of the park. Give it a look the next time you're around. This is a walkthrough attraction, so lines to enter are rarely long. Once you start meandering through the pathways, take your time to enjoy the sights and sounds around you. I know the Journey of Water is high on my list when I get to the parks next weekend. I and thousands of other runners will be jogging through the parks during the Springtime Surprise weekend from April 13th through the 16th. I can't wait to check out the new 10-mile route through Disney's Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Epcot. If you want to join in on the fun, I'm sorry, but you missed out on a lot of the 2024 season. There are some race bibs still available for volunteers for the event. But don't worry. Based on the popularity of this year's race set, Disney will definitely announce plenty more races for next year. Stay tuned to us and, I guess, Run Disney for more info as we get it. Elsewhere in Epcot, we've been warned of more changes to come. The ever-popular Test Track by Chevrolet is heading down for some renovations mid-June. And not just a quick overlay or some track adjustments. If rumors and concept art are true, we're getting a whole new experience with this high-speed attraction in World Discovery. Let's not even start with all of the things that might be happening over at Disney's Animal Kingdom and behind Fantasyland and Big Thunder Mountain in the Magic Kingdom. I'm pretty sure we're going to see plenty more coming out at the upcoming D23 event. Tickets to the D23 Expo went fast from what I heard. It seems like everybody is riding high on the excitement of big panels announcing movies, shows, and park attractions. I won't be able to attend myself, but I know plenty of you listeners will be. Stop by and say hi to Ken and Lynn for me. I hope you enjoyed our quick spin around the rest of the Disney universe. If you'd like to learn more about these Disney adventures or just have a few questions, please come on over. Visit the social media and websites of both the Sweep Spot and Concierge. Then reach out to Lynn, your personal travel planner. He looks forward to planning something special for you and your family. For Concierge, I'm Eric Johnson, and this has been your D180.
Looking to go to Disneyland Resort in California, Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, Aulani in Hawaii, or on a Disney cruise, or Adventures by Disney Vacation, I am here to help you book the best vacation possible, and my expertise and services won't cost you anything extra. Disney pays me, not you. As a perk by booking a package with me, I can also book your dining reservations, park reservations, tours, shuttles, and more. Let me do the hard work while you get excited about your upcoming Disney vacation. I can also book Universal Studios trips as well. By booking with me this year, you will receive 3 months free of our Patreon perk, like our bonus episodes, and join in on our current events live. So contact me at lbarron, that's LBARRON, at concierge.com, that's concierge.com, or thesweepspot at gmail.com. Now we're going to have the current events. Ken, what do you have for us?
Oh, Lynn, there's a few things to discuss.
All right.
Let's start with the big news corporate-wide. This one comes from MiceChat.com. Samantha Davis Friedman reports that Iger defeats shareholder revolt and reveals Avatar boat ride at Disneyland. And it says here, this is from April 3rd, and it says, during today's Walt Disney Company annual shareholders meeting, a pivotal vote on leadership threatened several board members, including Disney CEO Bob Iger. However, Bob not only came out victorious, but celebrated his victory by offering a first look at what guests, quote, might expect, end quote, from an Avatar experience at Disneyland. What guests might expect. Well, guests expect all kinds of things. Doesn't mean those are going to happen.
Right.
I'll continue in this vein. From the official Disney Parks blog, Josh D'Amaro, who's chairman of Disney Experiences, you know, in charge of the parks, he wrote something called Continuing to Turbocharge Disney Experiences. Yes, Josh D'Amaro. It's a great, big, beautiful D'Amaro. So anyway, I'll never give up using that joke. As he wrote here in part, we are thrilled to unveil a piece of inspirational artwork developed for a potential. There's a lot of weasel words here. Inspirational artwork developed for a potential new Avatar experience at the Disneyland Resort. We are excited about the stories our guests could experience at Walt's original theme park destination after approval of Disneyland Forward, including the chance to experience all new Avatar adventures with a visit to Pandora. Avatar is the latest example of how we are looking to create new and innovative ways to bring our powerful stories to life. Over the past decade, we've delivered massive, immersive experiences at our destinations around the world, including new lands and attractions based on Star Wars, The Avengers, Pixar, and more. So, yeah, and Orange County Register, Brittany McDonald got in on that, and they had first look at Avatar themed land proposed for Disneyland. Fans of Avatar The Way of Water, that grossed $2.3 billion at the box office, may soon be able to board a boat and explore the Pandoran oceans seen in this blockbuster film if Disneyland moves forward with plans for an Avatar-themed land teased for the Anaheim Theme Park Resort. The concept art shows jutting rocks and floating mountains amid gushing geysers and alien flora. A boat filled with riders passes through an aqua-green lagoon, leading toward a cascading waterfall. Iger described the concept art as creative inspiration for a potential Avatar experience being designed by Walt Disney Imagineering, Disney's creative arm. I skipped over the period there. Being designed by Walt Disney Imagineering, Disney's creative arm is teaming with Avatar filmmaker James Cameron on the new land. Iger has been teasing an exciting Avatar experience for the Disneyland Resort since February 2023. At the time, Iger described Avatar as a core franchise for Disney. A D23 blog post promised the Disneyland Resort's Avatar experience would rival Pandora, the World of Avatar-themed land in Disney's Animal Kingdom in Florida. During the shareholder meeting, Iger also discussed the $1.9 billion Disneyland forward proposal seeking approval by the Anaheim City Council on April 16th. So that's coming right up for, you know, our early downloaders. We'll hear about that in the news coming right up. So, you know, and not to be left out, MiceChat.com also, Samantha Davis Friedman, had everything we know about Disneyland's Avatar-themed land. And let's see here. I'll tell you everything we really actually do know about it.
All right.
It's based on Avatar.
Yeah.
That's it. Now she says, we all know there's a big difference between an experience and a land. But back in March, Disney CEO Bob Iger stated an Avatar-themed land will be coming to the Disneyland Resort. And at today's Walt Disney Company shareholders meeting, he backed it up with concept artwork. Okay, so Lynn, I've got things to say, but what do you have to say about this?
Well, concept art, as you know, is just, and especially in this case, you have the shareholders and the board and everything, you're trying to impress them to invest more. So you're not going to put in anything that's real detailed or even maybe correct on what they're really doing. You know, it's pretty much just to sell the idea that they're going to put this land there. I've seen people kind of zooming in and trying to pick apart, you know, what's in it, but I don't know.
They're like treating it like it's a, they're treating it right. Like they're in the CIA and it's a photo of a camp on the other side of the, of right. the planet.
Right. You know? It looks like it, you know, a boat ride possibly, but I don't know with the show building. We can go on this for a while because
people were like, oh, I know exactly where that's going to be. And, based on this piece of concept art, which, you know, they could level something that's already there and put the, you know, a new experience there. But
I have one thought. If they don't want to expand into a new area, but they want to use an existing area at California Adventure, you know, they could get rid of Grizzly River Run and put that whole side of the park, that area,
soaring over Pandora.
Right. So they could do that. You know, that's a pretty big, you know, footprint of an area. Just a thought. Yeah. I know that there's been talk about, you know, the Disneyland Forward and the expansion areas that they've spoke about, you know, across the street next to Pixar Place Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
That would be years down the line because they have to figure out a way to get the guests there. You're talking about roads and, I mean, it's a big ordeal. And
yeah,
then it would be to put it in an existing.
There's a lot more infrastructure with the, you know, it's easier to put it in.
Well,
attached to an existing park.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that, okay, so Universal announced this Epic Universe, you know, Disney, mm-hmm. that's in Florida, but, you know, In Hollywood, they're building a Fast and Furious roller coaster that everyone's really excited about. I could see Disney wanting to get this rolling pretty quickly, especially Tiana's Bayou, you know, adventures coming along, but that's not, you know, that's not going to necessarily bring new crowds, you know, it's a re-theme of an attraction, but Avatar would bring new audiences, like Universal received new people that didn't normally go to Universal for the Harry Potter stuff. So, I think Disney might try to put something in where they can develop and open it within, you know, 2 years rather than, you know, something that might take 5 years.
You know what? They could put it on the southwest corner of the resort where there's parking currently for Downtown Disney. And then they can retheme the Pixar Place Hotel to, now I know retheming a hotel sounds like a big deal, you know, but they could retheme the Pixar Hotel to the Avatar, you know. Yeah, I know that I'm kind of making a joke.
I know.
So it's
maybe we'll find out more at D23, you know.
And I think I've said it before, and I'll say it now: they could have an idea of, they might have something already planned out. Look, we're going to, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to build these two attractions and have, you know, these restaurants and these shops, and we're going to put it right here, and this is how we're going to do it, and blah, 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 blah. They might have that all fleshed out, and then it could all change before it happens. And we mentioned in the story there the Disneyland Forward vote. There's a vote coming up in mere days, you know, and of course, for most people listening, this has probably already happened because, you know, people don't, as amazing as it is to think about, people don't rush to download our podcast the very moment it's available. And I don't know why, but I do understand that there are people who don't. So they're probably getting caught up on past episodes. But there's a misconception, I think, where people are like, well, gee, you know, if they vote yes on Disneyland Forward on the 16th, then we can, you know, see shovels going, you know, in a few weeks. Yeah, on the 17th. It's like, no. You have to understand that Disneyland Forward is about zoning. It's about permission to do things that they can't, that Disney understands that they can't do under current zoning restrictions. Now, you know, anything else they want to build, like, you know, once Disneyland Forward gets approved, now Disney will go back to the city and say, all right, here's our plans to do this. You know, we're going to build a parking structure here. We're going to build a hotel here. We want to build some shops and restaurants right here. You know, then they've got to get the normal approvals they would get for any other construction project.
Right.
So, you know, just because Disneyland Forward gets approved, you know, if it gets approved, it doesn't mean that, you know, shovels go the next day. So, I mean, I would love for that to happen, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
It's not 1955.
Right. It's not like, you know, when they build the park in a year.
It'd be amazing. But yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we will have to see. I think, like you said, we'll find out more soon as far as timeline and what will be in these spaces. Maybe D23? That's still even early. You know, that's what's months away. So we will definitely be following this story. So let's move on here. So the next thing, this is from the OC Register and by, of course, Brady McDonald. It says here, Disneyland to convert Autopia cars from gas to electric. Disneyland will electrify Autopia and convert the attraction from gas engines to in the next few years, according to Disneyland officials. Disneyland officials would not say whether the Autopia cars would be converted to fully electric or hybrid vehicles. The last major Atopia refurbishment took place in 2016 when Honda became the ride sponsor. Previous ride sponsors were Chevron, and that was from 2000 to 2012, and Richfield Oil, 1955 to 1970. And according to D23, it says in 1955, opening day attraction was redesigned in 1959, 64, 68, according to D23. An extensive remodeling related to Chevron sponsorship closed Atopia from September 99 through June 2000. And so, yeah, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of people have always said, you know, why don't they change to electric? You know, that's like the newest thing now. Why are they still running these old gas engines? But they, in this, from what I understand, this was just kind of thrown out there. It wasn't like an official, like, this is when we're doing it. And so I don't know the timeline. It said in a few years. So it just kind of seemed real, no details,
it's,
really.
Yeah, it's kind of vague.
Vague, that's what I was thinking. And I don't know, if they get rid of the gas, you know, it's going to be quiet over there. They're going to have to make these cars make the same noises. That would be cool, right? And then pump in the smell, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and then electric car, I mean, these cars run from, you know, some days from even before the park opens because they got to get them going. But these cars run at least from 8 a.m. to midnight. You know, that's what, 16 hours. So it's just, I mean, when are you going to be able to charge these and how often? And will there be a spot where they park the cars where it gets a quick charge? And, you know, while passengers are getting in, I don't know. But that sounds like a whole big project there that they really didn't have any details on. I kind of don't think it's going to happen, but I mean, just because they said it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but we'll see. It's what do you think about that?
Well, you know, I know there's people who are like, it's time to get rid of them. You know,
well, that too. Yeah.
They don't want to like
get
them.
Rid of it.
And then again, I don't want to be repetitive, but, and I really don't want to be redundant and I don't want to be repetitive. But we forget what it's like for the kids to, you know, to be able to drive their own vehicle.
Right.
And it's not a chore to them. It's something they look forward to. So if you take it out, I think you need to have some sort of equivalent experience elsewhere. Mm-hmm. One thing they could do is elevate it. You know, make it all up and, you know, elevated highways above Tomorrowland, you know, and free up the footprint for some other stuff, you know, roughly have it follow the old people over track and that sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, none of this stuff that's planned or talked about, you know, you can count on until it's already happened. So,
right. I hope they never get rid of it. It's an opening day attraction. And like you said, it does serve a purpose. Maybe not to anyone our age or anyone, you know, 16 and above, but it does serve a purpose. And
yes.
I could just say from before I had my son Luke, I didn't care so much for the attraction and, you know, I appreciated it was there, but I never really went on it. But then I started to go on it with him because he wanted to, and it made me appreciate it more. In fact, I love going out there because when you leave that station, you feel like you're kind of removed from the park in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. I like that. And I hope and he was so happy to do it. I mean, he's so excited. He's so serious trying to steer it so it doesn't hit the, you know, the thing in the middle to bounce.
Yeah.
And it's just, I have videos. So I just hope they never get rid of that because if he's enjoying it, I know there's many, many others that do. And that's the purpose of having an attraction at Disneyland, is that people enjoy it. So anyhow, that's my rant. We still have not done a deep dive history of Utopia. I've started to do the research never finished. So yeah, we need to do that.
Well, I could be wrong, but I think Bob Gurr might have been involved with it.
Yes.
You think so?
Probably.
I think I've heard that before.
On our show, he did talk about it.
Oh, yes. I want to remind people that all of these are posted to our website in the current events portion of the website at thesweepspot.com. So you can click to get the entire story if you prefer. If you don't believe us, if you think we're making this up.
Never.
Yeah. No artificial stuff here. This is all natural. Okay. Brady yes. McDonald, they keep him busy over there at the Orange County Register. He had an article. This is a late breaking article, by the way. Meet the 19 Bayou Critters moving into Tiana's Bayou Adventure at Disneyland. And there's a fox and a bear and a rabbit and a turtle and a bunch of geese and never mind. It says here, Walt Disney Imagineering has revealed 19 critters in three bands that will play Zydeco, Rara style, and Afro-Cuban music on makeshift instruments and populate the bayou in the revamped Tiana's Bayou Adventure attraction. The first musical group of six animatronic Bayou Critters will play Zydeco-style music with the Gonna Take You There song from the film. The musicians will include Happy, Dopey, Sneezy... well, there's a bunch here. Halia, Gritty, Bo, Apollo... You really need to check them out for yourself, folks. See, there's Rufus. We've already mentioned some of these before. There's Timoleon. There's a second musical group that's gonna, has six animatronic Bayou characters, and they'll play Rara style music imported from Haiti. Hey, all right.
Do they really need names? I mean,
they do because that's how you merchandise them.
Oh, I was gonna say the animatronics in Splash Mountain did. A couple of them had names because they were, I don't know. Okay, cool.
Well, the third musical group of four frogs will play Afro-Cuban music with jazzy sounds and complex rhythms. The band members include Philippe, Myra, Mondo, blah, blah.
That's a lot.
So there's imagery and stuff like that. So you can check it out. And I also wanted to add that they had an article from before that Disneyland is going to close Critter Country during the Splash Mountain renovation. It's also Brady McDonald at the registry says that Disneyland will temporarily close Critter Country on May 1st. And we kind of mentioned that last time, but this is a subsequent story. Mm-hmm. They're going to close it on May 1st, which means they can't do their typical May 1st parade. That they like to do. To reimagine two retail shops as Louise's Critter Club and Ray's Berets. And the mini adventures of Winnie the Pooh Dark Ride will close May 1st for construction with no reopening date set. So it's closed indefinitely. The Hungry Bear restaurant will remain open during the renovation work. Of course, Louise's Critter Club will take over the half of Pooh Corner closest to the former Splash Mountain log ride, while Ray's Berets will replace the Briar Patch shop. The half of Pooh Corner closest to Winnie the Pooh attraction will remain open as a candy shop, because of course it will. You got to have the candy. So, Critter Country closing, Linwood.
Except Hungry Bear. It's a historical landmark, Hungry Bear now.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they haven't announced. I know that Walt Disney World, I don't know if you've been following a little bit, but they've already been testing with like Imagineers in the boats.
Yep.
They were asking if you were going to go out there and ride it and be one of the first, but they
need to fly me out there and, yeah, and cover my expenses, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure you'd be happy to,
relive
that role. But, I don't know. Like, it seems to me that it will be open by summer at Walt Disney World. I think that the rain, California had a lot of rain this winter.
It's been really rainy for the past year plus compared to normal rain levels, you know?
Yeah. Well, so I'm sure that set back the project a little bit, I would think. I mean, a lot of the work takes place indoors, but they still have scaffolding around the mountain that probably will come down soon, but, you know. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Ken? You think they want to get it open by the holidays? By, you know, Christmas or before?
Oh, I'm sure they'd love to be open by then.
By Halloween, maybe?
You know, it's going to be a big deal whenever it is.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would like to have them both open at the same time. I think they originally had said that, but because of whatever, you know, the different reasons, that may not be the case. You know, ideally, you would want to have them both open at the same time because you don't want people to watch the videos and get word of mouth of Disney Worlds, and then you know how that works, and it could work in an advantage or disadvantage. So we will see. I'm sure we'll hear something soon in the next couple months here, I would think. All right, let's move on. So the next one is from Brady McDonald over at the OC Register, and it's Disneyland explores backside of fireworks with Star Wars pyro show. A Star Wars fireworks show at Disneyland that turns a strangely quiet corner of Galaxy's Edge into a vibrant stage full of storytelling and music tells the tale of heroes, villains, and the battle between light and darkness. The new Fire of the Rising Moons fireworks show debuted in Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland as part of the two-month-long Season of the Force seasonal event that continues through June 2nd. Ever-changing versions of the Star Wars fireworks show will continue in Galaxy's Edge after Season of the Force comes to an end. Oh, that's cool. The Galaxy's Edge pyrotechnics display synced to Star Wars soundtrack will vary depending on which Disneyland fireworks show is playing on any particular night. Either Wondrous Journeys, Mickey's Mixed Magic, or Together Forever. Interesting. The current version, Fire of the Rising Moons in Galaxy's Edge, is paired with the Wondrous Journeys Nighttime Spectacular playing in the rest of the park through Sunday, April 14th. The second take of Star Wars fireworks will be paired with Mickey's Mixed Magic on April 15th to the 25th. And there's other articles here from Laughing Place. It has a video of Fire of the Rising Moons. You can check that out in our show notes. Very good, right? I mean,
yeah.
Anything more? I mean, I've seen the fireworks back there, but you can't hear the music that's playing in the rest of the park, wherever, you know, you can see fireworks. And it's actually a really nice place to see the fireworks with the you know, the Galaxy's Edge spires and all the mountains there. So, very good.
Well, the Star Wars music has always been a huge part of the franchise. Mm-hmm. You know, so
iconic. Yeah,
it really makes sense to incorporate it somehow, at least, even if it's not all the time.
Right.
But yeah, so I think this is a plus for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Adding something is usually good. So,
yeah.
All right, let's move along.
All right. Well, we're continuing with Star Wars, and there is the. I don't know if you've seen these photos and videos. Laughing Place has some. There's the BDX droids. BDX droids appear for the first time during Disneyland's Season of the Force. And this was a story by Luke Manning. And he says, after a short play test, interactive BDX droids are now making daily appearances at Disneyland Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Last fall, Imagineers playtested interactive droids, and today, and this is back on April 5th, today, with the kickoff of Season of the Force at Disneyland, these adorable droids are now making daily appearances, running April 5th through June 2nd. During the event, guests may encounter the droid at various locations around Black Spire Outpost throughout the day. And also I wanted to throw in that MiceChat.com has your complete guide to Disneyland's intergalactic extravaganza for Season of the Force by Dusty Sage. So if you want, you know, as they say here, we've assembled your definitive guide to navigating the galaxy far, far away, right in the heart of Disneyland from April 5th through June 2nd. So Season of the Force, Lynn, is underway. What do you, have you seen these droids?
I did. I think it's great. I mean, they originally, before Galaxy's Edge opened, they had mentioned there was going to be droids in the, and there had been a little bit up to this point, but I think it's great. I don't know. I hope to see more, and I hope it's not just a couple times a day. I hope it's kind of, you know what I mean?
It'd be nice for them to kind of hang around there a lot, you know?
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's hard to find cast members that small. And
that's what I was going to say. It's hard to fit them in there. So.
And then they need breaks, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, that I think it's great. I think they need to do that. Galaxy's Edge is always getting better. They're trying to improve things. They're seeing what guests like and don't like and what they want there. So I don't think it'll ever stay the way it is. So that's good.
Yeah. Looking forward to, you know, droids taking over there.
That's right. All right. Well, the next story we have is from Mice Chat staff over at Mice Chat, our friends over there.
That's a prolific writer, Mice Chat staff, that guy.
Yeah. That's not their name, right? That would be interesting. Okay. It says, coming soon to Downtown Disney, we're finally starting to see the light at the end of Downtown Disney District construction tunnel. Here's the latest news from Disneyland's rapidly evolving dining, shopping, and entertainment district. Adios to Tortilla Joe's. Tortilla Joe's restaurant has closed their doors for good after 20 years in the district. The quick service Takura? I don't know.
Takuria.
Okay. Yeah. At Tortilla, it's a little walk-up window there, will remain open until April 14th. The Patina Group, the owner of Tortilla Joe's, is opening two new Mexican restaurants just steps away. You can read more about those new locations a little further below. So, we're going to expand on this a little more, Downtown Disney, and discuss kind of just some opinions and things as a Patreon for our Patreons, a bonus episode that we record once a month. So if you want to hear us talk about that, you can sign up now and you won't miss out. So join our Patreon on our website and Well, you'll hear us more, talk more about Downtown Disney because it is fascinating. It's growing. You know, they're changing. I mean, there's hardly anything original that's been there. Tortilla Joe's was one of the original restaurants there.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, there's a lot going on in Downtown Disney.
Yeah.
Brady McDonald reported, you know, Disneyland Steakhouse makes a comeback, this time in Downtown Disney. And this is from April 10th. He says, Disneyland will once again have a steakhouse after shuttering a clubby and pricey restaurant during the pandemic that took diners back to the bygone era of lavish decadence and old Hollywood glamour with dirty martinis, bone-in ribeyes, and a legendary 24-layer chocolate cake. Disneyland plans to open the new steakhouse and barbecue concepts at the former Tortilla Joe's location in Downtown Disney. No opening dates were announced for the steakhouse restaurant and adjacent barbecue eatery. They need a barbecue. I mean, you know, they used to have barbecue back at the ranch, but the ranch is gone. The Disneyland Hotel was home for decades to Steakhouse 55 and its predecessors until the restaurant met its demise during the COVID-19 pandemic. Walt Disney Imagineering created a new lobby lounge in the former Steakhouse 55 location. So, yeah, they don't know. There's speculation in the article about what it could be. You know, part of a chain, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah. Well, it's good. I mean, you know, the barbecue part is seemed really interesting because we did lose a barbecue, you know, at Disneyland a while back. I know they kind of moved it over to the Riverbell Terrace for a little bit, but it'll be nice to have barbecue food in Downtown Disney.
Yeah. That would be good.
Who doesn't like barbecue food, right?
Well, vegetarians. Well, I guess you could barbecue. I guess you can barbecue the vegetables, but you know.
Yeah. So yeah, that'll be neat. They're adding that addition in there. All right. Let's see, what do we have next? Oh, interesting. So some more Downtown Disney news. We have
there's a lot of it.
OC Register, Brady McDonald. Din Tai Fung coming to Downtown Disney this summer. Disneyland diners hungry for the legendary Shanghai style soup dumplings that dribble down your chin won't have to wait much longer for Din Tai Fung to open at Downtown Disney. The Michelin-awarded restaurant from Taiwan will open this summer at the outdoor shopping mall next door to Disneyland and Disney California Adventure. The new time frame means the restaurant should open between mid-June and mid-September. Now, this is a very popular restaurant chain that I think is going to go over really well, and something they didn't really have in the resort at all, really.
Yeah.
For a while. So.
No, getting a variety into Downtown Disney would be good. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, another story was that a trio of Mexican restaurants were coming to Downtown Disney in May. And this was updated as of April. This is from Brady McDonald, and it's updated as of April 11th in the afternoon. The Patina Restaurant Group announced that Paseo, Centrico, and Tiendita will open May 2nd in Downtown Disney, and a ribbon-cutting ceremony is scheduled for May 1st for Paseo, Centrico, and Tiendita. Like most restaurants, the three new locations may have some dining opportunities leading up to the grand opening celebration. The new Paseo restaurant, Centrico Courtyard Bar, and Tiendita Grab-and-Go Stand will take over spaces formerly occupied by Catal Restaurant, Uva Bar, and Sprinkles Cupcake Bakery. Gaetan's food pairs his love of his homeland of Huzuko, or yeah, now I'm the one having trouble. Well, anyway, his homeland in Mexico, mm-hmm. with French culinary style and technique. Paseo's menu will include ceviche, lamb barbacoa, cochinita. I gotta stop for trying to pronounce these. it's roasted marinated pork.
Yeah,
but also mussels, and there's stuffed corn masa triangles. There's all a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. My mouth is watering.
Yeah, sounds good.
Centrico will focus on tequila-based cocktails, along with a menu featuring quesabirria, chicken enchiladas, and shareable pizza-like Oaxacan dish called deuda. Part of the problem is I'm sitting too far from the computer and my eyes are failing me. Tiendita's self-orchestrating kiosk will offer Mexican street food like fish tacos, esquites, which is roasted corn. There will be ice cream stuffed chocolate tacos, chorizo breakfast burritos, and chilaquiles, which are marinated tortilla chips with eggs. Mm-hmm. So much happening at Downtown Disney.
Too much. We can't even keep up. We can't even pronounce them. But
no, I can't. You know, we need a shirt for the sweep spot. Says, you know, my name, or you know, my restaurant was mispronounced on the.
sounds good. Sounds yummy. More Downtown Disney.
Yeah, I can believe it or not.
It's from Laughing Place. Trisha Kennedy says, Marceline's Confectionery will temporarily close for an expansion and reimagination at the Downtown Disney District. Disney Park Blog explains it as, we're designing an all-new, expanded, and completely reimagined confection experience featuring your favorite treats and fun, new, tasty offerings. While work on this location will soon be in progress, you can visit Marceline's cart coming soon to the district to pick up your caramel apples, churro toffee, and other handcrafted goodies.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yeah, the few times I've been in there, it's like crowded. So maybe they're going to have a bigger space. I mean,
yeah. Well, there's After Dark Nights that are still coming. There's on April 5th, the Disney Parks blog posted that a guide to Disneyland After Dark Pride Night, and that was from Kelsey Lynch. And as they say, Disneyland After Dark Pride Night returns to the Disneyland Resort for its second year with colorful celebrations, joyful photo opportunities, event merchandise, fabulous food and drinks. And as previously shared, this separately ticketed after hours event will be held at Disneyland Park on June 18th and the 20th. Today, we're excited to share more details about the fun you can expect at this event, plus information on when tickets will go on sale. And the Register reported on it, as they point out, tickets for the Pride Night events go on sale Tuesday, April 9th, which of course is a past as you're hearing this, for Magic Key annual pass holders, and Thursday, April 11th, which is also past, for the general public. Ticket sales start both days no earlier than 9 a.m. and I'm assuming that's Pacific time. So if you need your tickets, you don't have them yet, now you know.
Yep. Disneyland cracks down on disability access service misuses and abuses.
Oh, okay.
It says here, Disneyland and Disney World will attempt to rein in the unwieldy disability access service that has bogged down attraction queues and backed up Genie Plus lanes as a result of tripling in usage of the program, ripe with misuse and abuse. The Disneyland and Walt Disney Resorts updated the Disability Access Service programs on Tuesday, April 9th, that offer assistance to theme park visitors with developmental disabilities like autism and other neurodivergent disorders.
Correct.
The changes go into effect May 20th at the Walt Disney World Resort and June 18th at the Disneyland Resort, with the goal of limiting the Disability Access Service program to only guests who require the services, according to Disneyland officials. DAS is intended for Disneyland visitors with a developmental disability like autism who are unable to wait in a conventional queue for an extended period of time. DAS visitors get a return time through the Disneyland mobile app comparable to the current standby wait time for an attraction. Disneyland will continue to operate DAS on both coasts and partner with Inspire Health Alliance on the implementation of the updated programs. Visitors who do not qualify for DAS will be directed to leave the park. No, will be directed to other options like rider switch passes, stroller as a wheelchair tags. What? Okay.
Location. In other words, if you,
yeah,
your child's not big enough yet to use a wheelchair, but they need a wheelchair, so the stroller is their wheelchair.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Location return time passes for older non-ADA compliant queues, wheelchair transfer options, handheld devices for the visually impaired, and sign language interpreters.
Wow. Disney really does, you know, we thought we might need it. We didn't understand what DAS was at first, and we thought we might need it. But because my wife, her mobility issues are apparent, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, neurodivergence or anything like that. So, you know, she can't physically walk through the line. So Disneyland has a bunch of queues that, you know, are not, it's much easier for the operation for them to use another entrance or whatever. So, and it's really hard to maneuver scooters or wheelchairs, and, you know, scooters have batteries and stuff like that. So it gives you, pardon me, I'm getting choked up here.
Yeah.
It gives you the opportunity to basically wait elsewhere. You get a return time that, you know, that, as if you were waiting in line. Now that does provide, that can provide an advantage, because then you can go off and do something else instead of having to wait in line, because you're virtually waiting in line. And so people have abused, you know, various forms and stuff like that. But but I know that Disney goes out of their way. I mean, it's really, even like, look at the Jungle Cruise, you know, you can wheel a wheelchair right onto it, onto one of those boats. And same with Small World and stuff like that. And there's all these different ways that they've really, they go above and beyond to accommodate. And then there's people who just take advantage of the accommodations. But, you know, it's amazing. This story was so big that, of course, you know, the Register covers it, right? But right away, they have another story, a separate story about the same, basically the same topic. That says Disneyland threatens lifetime ban for disability cheats.
Wow. So
Disneyland has put disability cheats on notice that if they lie about having ADHD, irritable bowel syndrome, anxiety, or other or any other disorder to get free Lightning Lane line skipping passes, they will be kicked out of Disney theme parks in the United States forever.
Out of Disneyland and the United States? What did you say? It sounded like what you said.
Parks. I said, sorry, not and. Sorry. I'm sorry if my enunciation and my diction are not so good.
Pretty extreme.
Well, yeah, they're working with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement to just kick people out of the United States entirely.
No, it's not a laughing matter, but I just, you know, sometimes it's, you know, it's fun to...
Disneyland spells out the dire penalties for lying. Liar! You're a liar! During the Disability Access Service registration process, under the Frequently Asked Questions section of the updated DAS page on the theme park's website. So, if caught... DAS cheats will be permanently stuck in It's a Small World with the sound on. No, permanently barred from the Disneyland and Disney World resorts, and all daily tickets and annual passes will be forfeited without refund, according to the DAS website for both parks. How would Disneyland catch a disability fraud? Well, the tickets cost so much that they can afford to have an investigator follow you around. No, I'm just kidding. Disneyland doesn't say, but Disney cast members would likely be the first line of defense, backed up by the digital trail left by using the Disneyland app for Lightning Lane access. There are also security cameras covering virtually every corner of the park, and security guards monitoring suspicious activities.
Go
ahead.
There's going to be a lot of disappointed people. I know that this topic, I've seen this come up on social media, and the comments are all over the place. You know, people that are happy this is happening, people that are really upset. I don't know enough about it to really say a whole lot. I know that the last few times we've gone to the parks, my wife has used a scooter to get, mainly just to get around the park, and then because she's able, but she has rheumatoid arthritis, but anyway, she's able to, you know, wait in line, but so we don't use that pass or any way to use a scooter to get, you know, back a line pass. But I know some people, if you have like a wheelchair or something, then you can still use a normal Lightning Lane and return, and they'll put you, you know, in the Lightning Lane line when you return, just like anyone else would. If you can't go in the regular line, then they would, you know, so it's not like you're cheating the line, but there's definitely people that need it because they just mentally can't stand, you know, because I've seen comments all over the place. Like I said, there were, you know, people are saying they can't stand in line too long for, you know, because of the sun, different things. And it just seemed a little, I don't know, you know, so.
Well, nobody likes to wait a long time, you know.
Right.
But disliking it and having, you know, there are people with neurological conditions that, you know, it's not apparent just at first glance, and it maybe not be a mobility issue, but it does affect, you know, I mean, they can function fine at home or in an office or whatever, maybe, but, you know, if you stick them in a crowd, loud, noisy crowd, you know, for an hour and a half. And that's just a no-go for them, you know. But there are a lot of people abusing it, and it becomes an issue. And
it does seem like it's been more and more of an issue the past, 20 years, I'd say? 15? Yeah, it just seemed like it's been, for whatever reason, you know, I know that they had before the DAS thing, they had some issues with people that were renting. We talked about it on our show years ago. The people were like renting someone that did have handicap access and were able to hang out with them all day in the park and get on, you know, rides back past. But this sounds like the Inspire Health is that they're going to be handling. So instead of Disney, who's not really in the specialty field of, you know, medical.
Yeah, you can pawn it off to people who that's their whole bailiwick.
You know? Right. So they're like, you know, so if people do complain to Disney, like, I wasn't accepted, and like, well, you know, we don't make those.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those choices.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, it's kind of passing it on to them. But at the same time, it's not their expertise, you know, it never has been. So they, you know, and I don't know what the laws are as far as requiring, you know, like a doctor's note or something.
Right.
I don't know if that new system will require that, because you are dealing with a medical facility. I mean,
I'm sure Disney is run it past counsel, you know, lawyers.
Oh, for sure.
As far as complying with all applicable disability law, you know. So. Yeah, I don't think they would have done this without doing that.
So, right.
Now, I mean, Mice Chat, of course, carries the story too. So if you want to take a look there, you can. There is, as usual, a couple of MiceChat.com Disneyland updates. And one was from Andy Castro from April 1st. Yes, April 1st. But it says, rainy days, reveals, and reinventions. It says, Disneyland's spring break might have been washed out with lingering winter weather, but that didn't stop the news from rolling in. Tickets for this year's D23 Expo went on sale, but the messy rollout left many fans frustrated and without tickets. Meanwhile, Imagineering legend Joe Rohde, he has returned to Disney, sparking big hopes in the fan community at Disneyland. Work continues on major projects in New Orleans Square and Critter Country, and Downtown Disney's reimagining ramps up. We've got a big update for you today, so let's get started. And of course, you can click through for that. Dusty Sage had an update on April 8th. The Force Awakens, Tomorrowland Transformation, and Avatar Adventure. So, you can click through to read all that. There was actually a story in the Register about some of the refurbs coming up, and I know you have information on refurbs, right?
I do.
All right.
Are you ready? Here we go.
Sure.
Refurb land. We have the Haunted Mansion, of course. We do not have a reopening date. The last videos I've seen, people have posted and photos, they're still digging. I don't know what is going on over there. I mean, there was the exterior queue. They tore all that up, and that was a month or two ago, and they're still digging. So I don't know, maybe they're digging underground. I don't know what they're doing, but it's taking a while, and we'll see when it returns. It's supposed to be at least by end of August, so we'll see. Pirate Slayer, TSI, Tom Sawyer Island will be down and will return Monday the 15th. So just a couple days for those early downloaders. Incredicoaster will be down again, and is down now, actually, and returns on the 19th of April. Redwood Creek Challenge Trail down and no return date.
Closed indefinitely.
Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln will be closed April 16th and no return date. Classic Disney.
Waltz, you know, Waltz masterpiece. Yeah.
Yeah.
Closed indefinitely.
Yeah. Matterhorn down April 15th and returns on May 3rd. And then we, of course, have Critter Country, which is closing, like we had mentioned, on May 1st. So, yeah, that's really all I have. But,
well, yeah. You know, there's so much going on. And in the article, Brittany McDonald's thing listed, you know, the usual stuff. But it pointed out, like, he threw in also not on the temporarily out of order list are several attractions that never returned following the year-long pandemic closure that shuttered Disneyland and DCA. Disneyland's Star Wars Launch Bay and DCA's Blue Sky Cellar are being used for Imagination Campus, an educational travel workshop that teaches students about the arts and sciences used in Disney theme parks. And then it says the Magic Eye Theater in Tomorrowland remains dark with no upcoming show in the works. DCA's Hyperion Theater in Hollywoodland briefly returned for a 2-month run of Rogers the Musical before closing again with nothing planned for the 2,000-seat Broadway caliber venue. And the Fantasyland Theater no longer has regularly scheduled shows after the Tale of the Lion King ended its run in January. So I think Brady's getting a little tired of the vacant spaces in the resort too. You know, right. Come on, what's happening? I want to write a story about it. Yeah. What I guess he could do. What could go into the Fantasyland Theater? You know. yeah. You know. Write a whole story about that, but I mean, there's I think if outside vendors controlled those spaces, I don't think they would be empty. I think they would be being used. So it's, you know,
it's interesting.
I don't know. I guess there's already enough going on at the resort, isn't there? I mean, that's probably, you can only do so much at once.
Yeah, but a lot of these were like daytime shows that, you know, of course you have Fantasmic and World of Color, but you don't have the daytime shows where you can go and sit down and, you know, watch something.
That's a good point. It's a nice break from walking around. And I mean, what you need to do, folks, is stay tuned by listening to us. And you can, you know, every couple of weeks we have these updates, mm-hmm. and we keep, you know, we explain what's happening at the resort. We give you our perspective on it. And then every other week we have a main topic episode, often historical, but not always. The previously released one was someone who had worked at the resort in the mid to late 1970s and early 1980s in several different roles, ticket taker, ride operator, coming up next main topic, we're going to have a returning custodian back who's got so many stories to tell. So stay tuned, subscribe to us wherever you prefer to listen. Just, you know, these episodes are free. Make sure you don't miss any of them, and let your friends know they're here. What else do we want to say, Lynn?
That's it. Yeah, just pass the word on and leave reviews. We'd love to read the reviews. We usually do that on our main topic shows at the end, so that really helps us out. It helps other listeners find us. So leave us a review if you've been listening to us for a while, but thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you next time.